Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Mooresville.
So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, it says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowd along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel, and I will share my heart with you and make you wise." Isn't that beautiful? That's from the New Living Translation of the Bible, which is really a really amazing translation. Just in case you didn't know about Bible translation, I'll tell you this. This is interesting. New Living Translation is a little different from like New American Standard and New King James, where those are more word for word translation, you know, and made as readable as they can possibly make it. But New Living is not. It's more of a translation of thought, where they're trying to capture the thought of what was written, but it's a translation. There's other Bibles like the Message Bible, which is more of a paraphrase kind of Bible. And then there's the Passion. They call it the Passion Translation, but really, it's really not a translation. It's really not. It's kind of a hybrid, really, I think, between a real translation like the New Living or in a paraphrase. It's kind of a mix. They're all excellent. I mean, I love the Message Bible and I love the Passion Bible a lot. You know, there's a lot in them. But, you know, Proverbs is in the New Living Translation is really amazing. I've never really read Proverbs from the New Living Translation until recently. And I think it is as good as it gets as far as translations are concerned, where they really bring out the richness of what God is wanting to share through the book of Proverbs. I think most of you know that Proverbs is called a wisdom book. And so, you know, I think I might have shared how there's just a hunger in more and more people to hear the Lord speak to them, right? And God does speak to us in many ways, in many, many ways. And, you know, of course, you know, God speaks to us prophetically, and that's really a real important part of how God speaks, because the prophetic, you know, we've shared a lot of this on the prophetic, but the prophetic is a light shining in a dark place. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a light shining in a dark place. And anytime we reject the prophetic in our life, we're turning off a light. Okay? And when the church rejects the prophetic, the church is turning off the light. Okay, now here's the problem with the prophetic. The same light that you light your outdoor, you know how the bugs come to the light? You see what I'm saying? The light that illuminates us also draws bugs. And we can see that more and more, you know, in the prophetic, you know, there's been a lot of bugs that have gotten into it. But God's doing something in the prophetic community. I believe God's washing the prophetic. I believe he's took the prophetic and has taken it to the cleaners. And it desperately needs to be. And we can't reject it. But there's other ways that God speaks to us, I guess. And I really love how Jen and Jamie have really brought such a healthy teaching on the prophetic into our church. They really have. And I'm just really proud of them and thankful for them. Because that's really what the Lord spoke to me, I think, 3 years ago, that you need to pursue the prophetic. But you need to pursue it in a way that's biblical and healthy, okay? And because if you don't, you know, those bugs that are going to be attracted to it can infect it and bring dis-ease to it. Yes, yeah, it really is. And so we've, you know, we're going to pursue the prophetic. We're going to pursue revelations. We're going to pursue dreams and vision. I mean, that's really a core of what Christianity is. In fact, when Jesus was crucified, when he was raised from the dead, and when he was ascended into heaven, and it says that the Father, he poured out the gift of the promise of the Father on the earth, which was the Holy Spirit. And one of the signs of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the earth was dreams and visions and revelations. Are y'all with me? And so we would be foolish. We would be neglecting the very amazing thing that God has done for us if we ignore these things, if we just push them aside because of the bugs. You hear what I'm saying to you? But what we need is we need wisdom, I think, and we need discernment and we need understanding to really begin to hear God speak. Because there's a lot of things going on in the world today that we really don't understand. And we need some wisdom to understand. There's things that are going on in our life that I just don't really understand. Why is this happening? You know, I mean, I think we all have these situations in our life. We don't really understand. And a lot of things that seem right on the surface, a lot of things that sound right, a lot of people that you might believe in that they're right, you might discover later they really were not right. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And lots of what we have to do is to really tap into more of an anointing of wisdom, I believe, to begin to be able to see through things and begin to understand things. And God has really, you know, through that verse I just read, God has said, he has broadcasted his voice into the earth and offered humanity wisdom. Are y'all with me? You're kind of just sitting there looking at me badly. So he said, we could have this wisdom, and this wisdom will include not only for you personally, but it will include what's happening in the world around you. Because we're going to need wisdom to navigate this world. We're going to need wisdom to make right decisions. Okay, we're going to need wisdom when we go to the polls, because we don't want to vote for somebody that looks good and we believe they're right, but we find out later they were not right. We don't want to do that, do we? Now, some people, they're obviously not right, okay? And there's some things we can say, well, they're not biblical. How can you agree with murdering children and be biblical? Well, you really can't, y'all. Let's just be real. You can't do that. So some things are obvious. Other things are not so obvious. And so what I've been really seeking in my life, as I've been really just have this hunger to hear the Lord and in different ways than I've heard him in the past. That's what I feel like the Lord's been trying to do, is bring me into something different and new in terms of hearing him. And this is what I felt like he began to speak to me. This is what he said to me. He says to me this, wisdom has a voice. Wisdom has a voice, and you need to learn how to listen to that voice. And it says right here, he says, if you will listen to my counsel, verse 23, I will share my heart with you, and I will make you wise. And so learning to hear the counsel, learning to hear the mind of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, he will make you wise. He will give you what you need for your life. He's promised that. And we can really, really go after this and really believe it. So this voice of wisdom, if you read the Proverbs, which I would really suggest you do, okay, a lot of people, and I used to do it, I'm going to go back to this practice of read a Proverbs a day every month and start on, you know, the first and go all every month. And, you know, you could use different translation to kind of keep yourself activated in it. And that's a good thing to do, just in case you didn't know what Robert mentioned. Sometimes you read the Bible, everybody does this. Like, what did I just read? You might be exhausted when you read it, or still half asleep or mad or going through the motions. Anybody do that? Of course y'all don't. Y'all are so spiritual. Nobody gets in a fight with their spouse and then goes reads the Bible, you know, just to escape them. All right? Nobody does that. I do, but everybody else doesn't. And thinking God's going to talk to me, you know, after I've been ugly to Becky, you know. So, but sometimes what we can do to help us in reading the Bible, this is something that helps, is change the translation. Read a different translation. You know, one of the things I did when reading Proverbs recently is I started comparing the translations. And that's when I discovered, wow, this NLT, this is beautiful. But wisdom's voice will come to you in different ways, okay? It's not one voice, it's different voices. In fact, here are some ways it comes to you in Proverbs. It comes to you in a father's voice. Isn't that amazing? That's Proverbs 1:8. It comes as the voice of life, Proverbs 23:22. It comes as the voice of truth, Proverbs 1:10 and 1:18. And it comes in a woman's voice. That's one of the tricky things about wisdom. Wisdom comes as a woman's voice. Let me just say this. And when this was written, women were not listened to, period. Women were not trusted. They had no voice in anything. And here's God writing, hey, guess what, y'all? My voice is going to come as a woman. And he was saying that to these ancient people. But these modern people, now we need to really get this. A woman's voice, a mother's voice, okay? That's Proverbs 1:8 and 20 through 22. What I just read to you was a woman's voice. And it also comes as a craftsman's voice. This is interesting. As a craftsman's voice. Somebody who can build something. Somebody who can make something. Okay? Because that's what Proverbs will do. The Bible, there's a psalm that says, by wisdom you created the earth. By wisdom. See, wisdom builds something. Wisdom creates something. So there's just so much to this that really, I believe, can open up our spiritual lives to a dimension of in our relationship with the Lord that many of us don't really walk in. And a lot of it has to do with just our everyday life, of walking in our everyday life. And I'll show you in just a minute what it says of how to be successful and how to prosper in life. I mean, it's really profound what all's in this. But so, one of the things that really spoke to me recently, I had this conversation with Matthew Bollinger, and he was telling me about a conversation he had with another pastor. So I'm like number, the pastor said it, Matthew heard him, and then Matthew told me, so I'm kind of telling you some second, third-hand information. But here's what he told me, and I was totally fascinated with this. This pastor had this move of God to start happening in his church. And it was very, very dynamic move of the Lord. So much so that people started hearing about it and people started coming to their church that people were actually lining up at the church door to get in the church like they did back in the 90s. If some of you were around in the Lord back in the 90s, people would stand all day in the Florida, Pensacola sunshine. And we did that. or up in the north, up in Toronto, Canada, to get in to where God was moving. And so this started happening with this pastor in his church. And so I'm not giving no names on this because I don't have permission to share names. So I'm going to keep it all anonymous, okay? Two of the main leaders of the revivals that happened in the 90s, this particular pastor had some conversations with them. One of them, this is what he told him. If you want to do nightly meetings at your church, I will help you for a few months do it. I will move to your area and just help you do it. The other main leader said this to him, don't do it. Don't do it. He said, because there's parts of my life that I lost because I was in meetings. I was doing meetings every night in the 90s. There's parts of my children's life that I was not a part of. And he basically said, it's really not what God wants to do now. Wow. Yeah, that's what I thought. So perhaps there's a different grace and perhaps there's a different wisdom that God wants to bring to the church now than what he did. Because our automatic thought is that when God starts moving, provide things where everybody can come and I'm in on that. I would love that myself, personally speaking. But if there's not a grace for it, we shouldn't be doing it. I don't know. You know, this pastor said to Matthew, you know, that God had done a revival of the power of God, which would be like the Pentecostal revival of the love of God. That's really what was happening in the 90s. I'm sorry, y'all, who rejected that. You rejected God revealing the Father's heart of love to people. That was terrible. Don't reject when God moves, even if it looks crazy. And it was crazy. And there was excess. There was things that wasn't the Lord. But you can get God out. You can extract the precious from the worthless, right? I mean, come on, y'all. Well, can we do that? Instead of rejecting the whole thing? Okay, well, that's not the Lord. But I'm not throwing the whole thing out because somebody did something that wasn't the Lord. You know, or some church did something. That'd be dumb. Well, this, and then he said, so there was a revival of the power of God. There was a revival. Maybe there needs to be a revival of the sound mind of Christ. Wow. Wouldn't that be amazing? Where the whole church began to have this sound mind of Jesus. Man, that just like, oh, I'm in for that. No matter what it looks like, you know, wouldn't you be in for that? Well, let me read this verse here, James 1, 5 through 6. Everybody knows this, but again, this is from the New Living, and it says it a little different, but it says it beautifully. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. Isn't that beautiful? Ask our generous God. He's generous. He's got this heart to give. And so if you need wisdom, ask him. Don't you need wisdom? Yeah. We need to ask him for it. And he will give it to you. That's what it says. He'll give it to you if you ask him. He will not rebuke you for asking. He will not admonish you for coming to him like, you know, a parent does sometimes where kids ask him something. Stop, you know, bothering me. Leave me alone. Go to your room. He will not do any of that to you. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. That's powerful. In God alone. See, I think part of the problem with the whole prophetic movement has been is we put a lot of faith in people's words. And in those people, instead of learning how to discern the word of the Lord in what they're saying, okay, we can't put our faith there. We need to put our faith in the Lord and the word of the Lord, but we need to learn how to discern it. We need to learn how to have wisdom in what we're hearing and go with that versus putting all this weight on these people. And then when these people falter or they give a bad thing, your faith is all of a sudden challenged. But you've placed your faith in the wrong place. You cannot place your faith in people. It has to be, like they said here, in God alone. So when we begin to put our faith in God alone, he will begin to show you people that are trustworthy. He will begin to show you trustworthy words. You'll begin to sense things. You'll begin to feel things like, you know, that don't feel exactly right. They're saying all the right things, but there's something off on it. You see, that's what wisdom does for you. It gives you this ability to discern and look through that stuff. And no, that's not God. This is God. Are y'all good? Okay, I'm taking way too much time on this. You know, do not waver for a person with divided loyalty. And that's the two-side, you know, the person who lives in the duplex. You can't be in both places at one time. You know, we're not duplexes. God wants us not to be living a duplex. He don't want us to live one day in this place and one day in the next place. You know, he wants us to settle down in one place, and that's his heart. You know, for a person with a divided loyalty, and see, here they're bringing out loyalty. Where is our loyalty? Is it to the Lord, or is it to a certain group of people, or certain prophets, or certain preachers, or certain narratives? Where's your loyalty? And that's really what God wants us to do. He wants us to dial our loyalty into him. And when we do that, then all that other stuff tends to take care of itself. You know, it tends to bring the right people into your life. It tends to help you to discern the right voices. That person is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. We don't want to be those people. So we're to ask for wisdom in faith and receive it by faith. And here's another reason. Now, this is a hard one, because sometimes you're not going to like what wisdom has to say. That's one of the reasons there needs to be some faith involved in it, because it's going to tell you something that you personally may not, it personally may offend you. I believe, you know, all of that revival, that Toronto blessing that people have cursed and said bad things, I believe it was the wisdom of God. Okay? Now, not all of it was the wisdom of God, but the heart of it was the wisdom of God. And the heart of most genuine revivals really are, even though they're messy and they're difficult and they can be, you know, create messes. But it's so easy to reject things that don't look good on the surface. And see, that's why we have to have faith that operates, that we can, because faith gives us the ability to see, okay? And wisdom gives us the ability to discern what we're seeing and know what we're seeing. Are y'all with me on this? So let me read this one other verse here. Yes, I'm doing good on time, y'all. I'm trying to make my messages shorter, honestly, and that's hard for me. because I spend too much time on commercials. You know, David Harwood, I don't know, if y'all hadn't listened to his message, listen to it. You're talking about an efficient speaker. That guy was efficient. Like, oh, there's no wasted words in this. There's no commercials. I told him how much time he could have. I said, we need to, you know, kind of stop by this time. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I don't need that much time. I've had other preachers come in where I had to tell him, you've got to stop doing this. We love what you say. We appreciate what you say, but you are killing us. I mean, you kill us, and you're done. We're done 15 minutes before you are. The best of us are. The others are 30 minutes done, and you're still going. I had to tell one guy, literally, I tell him, I'm not inviting you back unless you promise me that you're going to shorten your messages. Because I love your messages, but they're just overloads. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You probably have an idea. Somebody has a lot of revelation. Let me read 1 Corinthians and get off the commercial. 1 Corinthians 1:25. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. See, that's what it's telling us. God's plans can look very foolish. And then, of course, God's weakness, we would all like, oh, yeah, God's way stronger than a man's greatest human strength. But we don't think a lot of times about the wisdom of God. And we think lots of times we're wiser than what God's doing. We judge by the sight of our eyes, the hearing of our ears. And that's the thing that the Bible says Jesus never did. It was always with righteousness and justice and truth. Okay, let me go back to Proverbs. I'm going to read what it says in the introduction, because I think it's so important, okay? It really, really spoke to my heart. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to really make wisdom and pursue wisdom, okay? That's really what I'm going after here today, is the voice of God, the voice of wisdom in your life. Okay, make that a priority. You know, begin to embrace that as a part of your spiritual life. And one of the ways you can do this is by beginning in the book of Proverbs, because it is a book of wisdom. Okay, so it says this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Just in case what I said to you earlier about preachers, a lot of exposure going on, preachers are falling. Most of God's people in the Bible, there's a few that got away with not getting exposed, right? There's a few that didn't do some bad stuff that God didn't tell on. Think about Solomon. Solomon did not end up well, okay? But did God decide to pull Proverbs out or erase Solomon's name? No, it was not. It was because of what, this was the word of the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? You can't discard the word of the Lord just because the person is broken, just because the person has issues. If it's the truth, we embrace the truth. Listen, we embrace truth from streams of Christianity that we don't necessarily 100% agree with, but when they speak the truth, we agree with the truth. Okay? And that's the way how we can grow in the Lord. That's how we can prosper in the Lord. Instead of getting messed up and thrown off and get into bitterness. Yeah, heck, he just followed in his daddy's footprint. In fact, he was a product of his daddy's messed up, right? He's a product of his daddy's adultery. God has no shame about his people. Now, that does not condone any bad action. I am not condoning and giving anybody a free pass on sin. And we don't do that. We need to have a repentant heart, a broken and contrite and humble heart about these things. And we need to ask the Lord to keep us. Honestly, keep us. Lord, don't let us. It's only the grace of God that's going to keep us from ruining our lives and ruining people around us, honestly. Yeah, I mean, truthfully, I mean, that's the truth, y'all. So on both ends, God's at work. Okay, this is what it's saying. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline and to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young, Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser, and let those with understanding receive guidance. So let me just recap what it said. Okay, number one, this is what the voice of wisdom will do for you. It will teach you wisdom and discipline to help you understand what life means. Right? Sometimes we want to know what our life means, what's going on in our life, and where our life is going. See, wisdom has a prophetic element to it. It reveals future. It shows you direction. It opens direction for you and says, this is the way. That's powerful, y'all. So it's prophetic. Wisdom is very prophetic in nature. In fact, one of the gifts of the Spirit is a gift of word of wisdom. It also teaches us to live disciplined and successful lives. How many people want to be successful in this room? Yeah. Well, if you woke up this morning thinking, I want to be a failure, you got some bad thinking going. Right. We want to be successful. Whatever we're doing, whatever we lay our hands to, successful parenting, successful in business, successful in our friendships, you know, successful in our finances. I mean, that's the heart of God. And wisdom will impart that to you to help us to do what is right, just, and fair. Because we're constantly faced with those kinds of decisions about how we interact and how we deal in life. It also, listen to this, it also give our young people a grasp on reality. Now, I'll just pull that interpretation out of the Message Bible, a grasp on reality. If there's ever a time when our young people, well, my mom and dad would say the same thing about me. They were right. If you're a young person, they're all in a group, tell them, you know, the older I get, the smarter my daddy gets. I wish I would have listened when I was out being really an idiot. Yes, I was a very anti-everything. Let's march. Let's kill them. Let's take the country down because we're bad. You know, I mean, we were into that stuff. You know, how I wish I... Oh, boy, I was a bit wrong. We need a our young people need a grasp on reality. The quicker they get it, the better they're going to be in life. Right. Encourage your young people, if you can get them to, at least listen to the Proverbs with their headphones. You know, at least listen. And there can be something that can happen to them. It will give us insight for living to vulnerable people, these simpletons. Another Hebrew word that comes out of simpletons, vulnerable people. And I was thinking about, who are vulnerable people? Well, I can tell you some vulnerable people. Single mothers are very vulnerable, right? Orphans are vulnerable. People who have just received a death prognosis on their life are vulnerable. Okay? People who have just lost their jobs are vulnerable. People who have just broken up with their spouse are vulnerable. Immigrants are vulnerable. People from other countries that have come here, whether they've come here legally or illegally, for the church, that's not really our issue to battle. They're vulnerable people. You know, and so what wisdom will do, wisdom will help them give them insight on how to live their life, what to do with their life. That's what God wants to do for all human beings, is teach us how to live our lives properly. And it will help the wise people. So if you're already wise, you already got wisdom, it'll help you grow in your wisdom. You'll become more wise. Yeah. And it will help you actually receive more guidance for your life. Are y'all into this? I gotta finish. I'm gonna finish, okay? So here's what I believe about the book of Proverbs. I believe there's a power of impartation that rests on this book. I believe if we can read it with the Holy Spirit, obviously, I believe there's an impartation of wisdom that can come into our hearts. If we'll begin to give our ears to it, give our ears to the voice of wisdom, it's not just hearing some good advice and some good counsel. There's an impartation when it becomes a part of you and you begin to walk it out and live it out. I think that's pretty good. Okay, I'm about done, y'all. I'm done got tired. All right, but I am going to finish here, and I'm going to read Proverbs 2, 1 through 7. My child, listen to what I say. There's another listen. And treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom. Tune your ears to wisdom. And concentrate on understanding. Concentrate. cry out for insight and ask for understanding. This is some very practical advice given to us. Search for them as you would silver and seek them like hidden treasure. How many people are treasure hunters or would like to be? Or imagine you're a treasure. You know, I have to tell you, one of my imaginations I have in life is finding treasure. I really do. I'm always having these imaginations of finding this old house and there's all this treasure in it. And I found out, I actually own this old house and it's full of treasure somebody left behind for me. Well, that's a fantasy, right? But it kind of comforts me a little bit. No, it's not, right? But really, the truth is, that old house is the house of the Lord. There's a treasure in it. I can make it spiritual. And then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. Say, right? Say, we don't really understand that, do we? We don't really understand what it means to fear the Lord. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And we're having a difficult time making those two work. Well, maybe sometime I could tell you that Jesus actually did define the fear of the Lord. But that's for another day. It has to do with, well, never mind. I got to go. But the Bible tells us some stuff. But God, I'll tell you one way we're going to understand the fear of the Lord. And it's the best way. It's when the glory of God's presence comes so strong. Even though it's full of love and full of compassion and mercy, grace and truth. There's this thing that God is awesome and God is amazing, and it causes this righteous fear to rise in us that he's beyond us. But that's something that we have to experience, I think, for it to really become a reality in our life. But I know people who've experienced it. I've heard their stories and I've heard the thing coming out of their heart. The thing coming out that they did touch something that got to them for the rest of their life they were touched by it. For the rest of their life they were impacted by that moment where the fear of the Lord came. And it completely undid them in a moment and redid them in a good way. So for the Lord grants wisdom. I think I said something to you. About the word grant. I love that word grant, because grant is not like a loan. Okay? It's not like wages. You have to qualify for it. Okay, but he just told us, here's how you qualify. Ask for it, seek it, tune your ears, and you'll get a grant. A grant. You don't have to pay a grant back. It's just given to you. As long as you qualify, it's yours. He grants with him, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Listen to this. If there was everything in the world that the world needs, including the church, he grants a treasure of common sense. If there was we're in a dearth of common sense in our country. We don't have leaders that have common sense no more. It's fled from them. Where's common sense? We don't even have leaders in the church that have common sense anymore. And people of God, people believing, where's the common sense? Well, the Lord says, I'll grant it to you. If you don't have it, I'll give it to you. I want you to have common sense. Common sense is something we just need to live life good and to make decisions. Listen, I don't want to be mean about this, but I don't think it's common sense for a grown man to go into a woman's bathroom in a gym and undress when there's 12-year-old girls in there just because he believes he's a girl. That's not common sense. Okay, build him another bathroom. If you got to, build another one. But don't let him go in there in front of these little girls. How can that be right? That can't be right. And everybody on this earth that has any common sense would know that can't be right. You know, because that's such a wounding thing, especially for children. And, you know, some men might not like that. Some daddies might do something bad. Yeah. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. So wisdom in the book of Proverbs is presented as a person who offers us something of great value. He grants wisdom. He grants a treasure of common sense. But the beautiful thing for you and I is that God did something more than just give us a book, right? Let me read this, Colossians 2:3. In him lie hidden, this is Jesus, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's the treasure he wants us to go after. When we really pursue, you know, and Andy did a great message a couple weeks ago, by the way, on preeminency of Christ. That's right. That's the beginning of going after wisdom is in this person. And God wants to give each one of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. First, to know Jesus Christ better, right? And then to know the other things that God has for us. Because revelation, apart from wisdom, it doesn't work that good. You, when God wants us to be people of revelation, I'm declaring, I will go on to dreams, visions, and revelations in the Lord. I've been declaring that over my life for years. I pursued it constantly, and when I'm, but without the wisdom to take revelation and make it a reality, to live it in your life and to be a person of wisdom, it's not going to do you much good. In fact, there's a fire that'll come that tests everything. And I think revelation that doesn't have wisdom ties to it burns up in the fire. I'll tell you that right now. You go read 1 Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians 2 or 3 where Paul talks about every man's work is going to be tested. And we know a lot of you people have went through that fire. You know that fire. And you know you walked into that fire with some things and you walked out of it with some things, if you'd be honest. And the things you walked out of was the things that lacked any wisdom that they didn't become, they weren't really yours. Wisdom makes revelation ours. Are y'all good? Yeah. So I'm going to read a couple of prayers. I want to pray for y'all right quick and then I'm stopping. Okay? Number one, here I just wrote some prayers down when I was thinking about some things I'm asking the Lord to grant you and I. Number one, a genuine touch of a greater intellect. You hear me? Intellect. To make the best upcoming decisions and choices that will affect our lives, our loved ones, and the world around us. That's part of wisdom. Part of wisdom is having a greater anointing on our intellect. How many people need some more intellect in this room? Well, I love the ones who didn't raise their hands, that you're the smartest people in the world. All of us need God to touch our intellect with wisdom. That Lord, grant that wisdom and common sense onto our intellect. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this room has a great intellect. Some of it needs to be activated. Right? I need to activate some intellect here. Some of you are tricky. There's people in this room that are very intellect, but they don't act that way. They don't act that way, but they are brilliant people. Ask the Lord to show you some of those people. You'd be surprised. Uh-huh. Dean says he is, but Jenny's disputing it. Ask their wife. Ask their wife. They'll tell you. Yeah. The Lord grant us common sense. That's really a powerful, Lord, grant us common sense. We're asking you for that, Lord. Lord, grant us another portion of faith to see and hear clearer than ever. Grant us another portion, another level of faith to be able to see what you're doing, hear what you're saying, and obey. Surrender to that. Lord, grant that we would have greater discernment and clarity of the Holy Spirit and bear much more fruit in our lives. Lord, grant us wisdom in our homes, in our work, businesses, and in the church. Give our young people a true grasp on reality. Those are things I was praying when I went through this. And I pray that for you today. I pray that for me, you know, that we desperately need an impartation of wisdom for the days ahead in the United States, to know what to do in situations, to know what's truth, and to know what's not truth. To know, is this eclipse really a destruction upon America? Or will they, you know, I mean, you can get a million different views on that. What is the Lord's view? Lord, give us wisdom about this, you know. Give us wisdom how to navigate the narrative of the world that might sound good on the surface, but really is full of evil. Help us to navigate the division and the strife in our country. It takes wisdom to do all that. It takes wisdom to be able to reach people who may be on the opposite divide, and also see those people as people that need to be loved and people that need Christ as much as you need him. Because sometimes you don't see them like that. Sometimes you have hate in your heart for what they represent. And we can hate what they represent. If they represent evil, we can hate the evil. But we have to be careful that we don't be people of hate, that we hate people. Because the Lord died for those people. And he would say, well, I love those people. I might not agree with those people, but I do love them. And so one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do is bring a kindness into the earth. Where I read a scripture, it's in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, where he talked about adding brotherly kindness. That there's a kindness that God wants us to have in our life towards each other.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.